Good afternoon, everyone. Good to see you all. It's good to see so many new and existing faces, old friends. I just before I came up, I bumped into someone I hadn't seen in about a year, and he came up to me and goes, "Oh, you're speaking today?" And I said, "Yeah." And he goes, "Don't mess up." And then he walked away. So always good to see old friends. I'd like to start by asking you all a question. Let me try to get this thing to work. Do you stand out? Do you stand out? As you go through your life, whether it be through school, at work, at the mall, on social media, is there something different about you? Is there something that people might look at you and say, that person's a little bit different, unusual, unique perhaps? Now, there are many ways that one might stand out. To be clear, this is not one of those ways I'm referring to. This is certainly an effective way to stand out and draw attention to yourself, but it probably would be pretty painful and expensive. That's not what I'm referring to. Instead, my question is around the way you behave. Do you stand out in the way you act, the way you move through life, the way you speak, the way you treat other people? You know, for an example, we live in a society today that is rife with profanity and vulgarism. And it's getting worse. And I remember back in the day, you wouldn't hear a cuss word come out of a person's mouth at work. And our ladies, in some cases, are swearing at work. How do we act with this regard? You know, what about social media? It feels like everywhere you look these days, whether it be Twitter or Facebook or something else, there's always someone looking to start a fight, express their opinion, and there's huge debates and other things going on. How do we handle ourselves in that situation? You know, drug use is another big thing in our society today. It's becoming more and more widespread and in some cases legal. What's our position on that? You know, these are just some examples, and there are many, many others, whether it's abstaining from premarital sex, alcohol abuse, keeping the Sabbath, or not eating bacon. There are many, many things that make us, as God's people, stand out. And if those things don't make you stand out enough, just wait until you pull these bad boys out. We all know the drill. You get there, it's lunchtime, you pull out your lunch, your buddy's got a Philly cheesesteak, the other one's got a pizza, the other one's got a grilled cheese, and you pull this out. And if they don't think you're weird then, just wait until you tell them that you're going to be eating this for 7 days. As God's people, we stand out. We stand out. We tend to behave in a way that others might seem to be different or unusual, maybe even weird. And you know what? That's okay. That's okay. Because as part of our calling as Christians, this is what is expected of us. In fact, if you look through the Bible, almost everyone they read about in the Bible, the good guys, in some way, they stood out. They stood out. And they all did it for a very specific reason. And what I'd like to do is I'd like to dig into this a little bit and take a quick look at the story of a man who stood out perhaps more than anyone else in the Bible. It's a man who lived in a time that is compared to be very, very similar to us today. It's a man who was called by God and was deeply committed to his faith. And it was a man who was ultimately delivered with his family in spectacular fashion. I'm referring to the patriarch Noah. Look for a more recent photo. Couldn't find one. You'd think someone who lived for 900 years might have a better picture. So let's pick this up in Genesis 6, verse 5. We know the story well. Let's quickly review it. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was very, very great on the earth, and that every intent on the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. So the story starts by telling us a little bit about the days or the society in which Noah lived. And Christ expounds on this a little bit in the book of Luke. He does it in the book of Matthew as well. He expounds on it, and he says, as it was in the days of Noah, so it will also be in the days of the Son of Man. They ate, they drank, they married wives. They were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. This was the environment in which Noah lived. There was a lot of evil. Only evil continually is the word that is used back in Genesis. But as we know, Noah was different. He was different. The Bible describes Noah as a preacher of righteousness. As a preacher of righteousness. And as such, he would have acted differently. He would have spoken differently. He would have treated people differently. He would have, in no doubt, stood out. Now, as if his behavior wasn't enough to make him stand out, you know the story. God comes to him one day, says, Noah, I want you to build a boat. But not a little boat, not a little boat that you can just sort of pop under a tree or in a tent somewhere out of the open. What God said is, no, I want you to build a boat. This is a picture of the construction of the one that they've got in Kentucky. And I think it does an amazing job of just highlighting this, the sheer size of this thing. This isn't something you can just pop in a cave or do out of plain sight. The point is, this was done in the open for people to see. People saw this. And if that didn't make him stick out, imagine the thing that went through people's minds when all these animals started lining up and Noah started loading them onto the ark to go for a ride. Noah stood out. So much so that I believe that he was likely mocked. He was likely ridiculed. He was probably laughed at. All for the things that he did. But that didn't deter him. He was committed. But why? Why did he do it? This scripture here tells us exactly why he did it. The book of Hebrews, especially chapter 11, is amazing. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of these things not seen, he moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. Noah did these things because he had faith. Faith in things unseen. I mean, think about it. He lived in a society where things were seemingly going great. People were having a blast, doing whatever they wanted, whenever they wanted. They were eating, they were drinking, they were marrying. And you get the impression that life was just going on and people weren't the least bit concerned with anything. Not to mention a God telling them what to do. And one day, God comes to Noah and says, Noah, in about 120 years, I'm going to bring a flood to this earth that's going to be so severe, it's going to cover the entire planet and it's going to kill every living creature. But I'm going to save you, Noah. And I'm going to save your family. But all I need you to do is build a boat. Noah was divinely warned, as we are told in Hebrews 11. But it's how he responded that's impressive. Not only did he believe the words that he heard, but he took them seriously. And those words moved him immediately to take action. And so, for the next century or so, while people around him were living it up, having a blast, not worrying about anything, Noah was doing something different. Instead of blending in with everyone around him, Noah was building an ark. on dry land, miles and miles and miles away from water. Talk about standing out. And as we know, the rains did come. The depths of the earth were opened, and the whole planet was flooded. And just as God had warned, every living creature was killed. That is, except for Noah, his family, and a boat filled with animals. At the end of the day, Noah did the things that he did because he believed God's word. He had faith that something God said would happen in 120 years. Think about that. Someone came and said something to you, hey, things are going great now, I get it, but in 120 years from now, things are not going to be so great. You need to start planning now. That's what Noah did. It's because of faith that his life and the life of his whole family was spared. You and I, we have the same faith. In many, many ways, the society in which we live today parallels that of the time of Noah. What did Christ say? He said that in the time of the end would be like the days of Noah, where evil would abound and people would go to and fro. They'd be going about their business. They'd be marrying. They'd be eating. They'd be drinking. They wouldn't be worrying about things. Does that not look like our society today? Does our society look like the kind of society that's worried about some sort of impending spiritual punishment? You know, just look around. Things seem to be going great. We have a thriving economy for the most part. We have exceptionally low unemployment rate. We have incredible technology. And people are having a blast. They're doing whatever they want to do, whenever they want to do it. Why do we need God? Let me ask you a question. How many of you at school have friends that are not in the church that care about religion? Let me ask the question slightly differently. How many people of you, when you have friends and you mention God's name, they laugh or mock and like, you know, we don't want to hear that. That's the society that we live in. That's the society that parallels really, really closely with the days of Noah. And that's the same society that you and I have been warned about. Just like Noah. You and I, through the pages of our Bible, we've been divinely warned. The words of Jesus Christ couldn't be clearer. Perilous times are coming. Prepare now. Prepare now. Beyond that, the choice is ours. Do we, like Noah, have absolute faith in God's word? And does that faith move us to be different, to stand out? Or do we ignore the warning and simply blend in with everyone around us? The choice is ours. And so, in faith, we choose to obey him. We choose to keep his commandments, to speak differently, to act differently, to keep the Sabbath, to keep the holy days, to go to school with matzos for 7 days. And because of this, we stand out. People might think we're weird. People might mock us. They might even laugh at us. But it's okay. You see, because we know, just like Noah, we don't do the things that we do to try and stand out to other people. We do the things that we do to stand out to God. Because at the end of the day, if we stand out to God, just like Noah, we know we will find favor in his sight. And just like Noah, we will be delivered. All the great spiritual heroes that we read about in the pages of our Bible had one thing in common. From Noah to Abraham, David to Daniel, and that is, they all stood out. They stood out to those around them, and they were different. They were unusual. Maybe even a little bit weird. But they all did it for one very specific reason, and that reason was faith. They had faith in which was not yet seen. And because of this faith, They've been recorded in our Bibles as spiritual heroes, and they will stand out for the rest of time. And one day, they will rule with Jesus Christ on his throne again because they were willing to stand out. We share this faith, and we share this promise. And that is why we do what we do. So earlier I asked you a question. Do you stand out? Do I stand out? Because if you do, just remember, you'll stand out to God.